What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on? It's me, DiBiase, here. Today is August 1st on this Wednesday afternoon. The Eagles just wrapping up practice. Today was a non-contact day, so yesterday the Eagles finally started live hitting, and we had to take our takeaways. We posted that up on LockedOnEagles.com, so go and check that out. That's my shameless plug for the day. And today they did not hit. They had a quick, light practice this morning, so we'll get into a little bit of that today on the podcast, but we're also going to talk about Nate Sudfeld and how he, to me, is making the Eagles not moving Nick Foles in the offseason look a little silly, honestly. I love Nick Foles and having him on the team still. The guy should have a statue. The Philly special, there should be a statue of Foles catching that football right in front of the Lincoln Financial Field. I'm reading his book now. There's some awesome stories, becoming an even bigger fan of him, but Howie Roseman not moving Foles this offseason might end up being a mistake because of how good Nate Sudfeld has looked so far in the summer. So we're going to get into some camp takeaways as well as the Nate Sudfeld discussion today on the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. If you missed any of our shows throughout the week or last week, they're all up on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, they're up and available on the sites. And of course, as always, on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com, where I post all of our podcasts and written content. I did a stock up, stock down edition of the show on Monday for the first week of training camp, so if you want to go check that out, that is up on the site and running. A nice announcement for the show this coming Sunday, because we're doing stock up, stock down every single week, so that's going to be a weekly edition of the show. John Barchard of Sports Radio 94, WIP, and Bleeding Green Nation is going to join the show to help me out with who has been trending upward and who's been trending downward in week two of training camp as we get ready. You know, the preseason's right around the corner as well. Tomorrow we have the Hall of Fame game. The Ravens are playing with Lamar Jackson. That's going to be fun to watch. And then the Eagles next Thursday finally hit the field. They are in Pittsburgh. It's actually in Philadelphia. They're taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers in the preseason. So we're only a week away from Eagles football, which is crazy. I know it was a short offseason because of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, but it still feels like it's been a while since we've seen the Eagles play on the field. So it's going to be awesome to see them go up against the Steelers. We're going to talk about, you know, who to watch in those games. So continue to stay tuned to Locked On Eagles as we continue our coverage of the Eagles all year round, 365 days a year. Let's get into today's show, and we'll start with some training camp takeaways from Wednesday's practice. And the one guy, you know I'm a big fan of this guy, Rasul Douglas, former third-round pick out of West Virginia, the cornerback, coming into his second year. If you've listened to my show in the past, you know I've had Liam Jenkins on talking up Rasul Douglas. Ian Wharton was on the other day talking about the Eagles secondary, and he was mentioning almost how Douglas actually has more promise to his career becoming a legitimate starter, you know, a high-quality one than Jalen Mills. I don't know how much I agree with that, but Rasul Douglas has a lot of upside. The Eagles really like him despite having a very deep secondary right now with obviously Darby and Mills as the starters on the outside. Sidney Jones making that transition into the nickel. He's been battling Devontae Bowser. Jones has the most upside. But then there's Rasul Douglas, just a guy that is almost flying under the radar because in his rookie year when Darby went down, he filled in for almost half the season and to me played really well for what they were asking him to do. He made some big plays, had a couple of interceptions, should have had more, honestly, and he has kind of carried that into the spring and summer and has really caught the eyes of the coaching staff. Every single time I've watched a press conference from Doug Peterson where they ask him who has stood out so far, he has gone out of his way to mention Rasul Douglas, and so has Jim Schwartz and Corey Unlin, the defensive backs coach. I wrote this in my piece yesterday, has made it a priority to coach Douglas right now and try to, you know, keep him a little bit more patient in his back pedal before breaking on the football and kind of reading routes, trying to get his route recognition better because he is a ball hawk that's going to try to intercept passes and get in front of receivers in jump routes. But sometimes with not just him, but most Eagles corners here fit that Jim Schwartz mold of an aggressive corner that's trying to get the football. A lot of the time when you play that aggressive and if you don't read the field correctly and know when to pick your spots, you get beat on those double moves a whole lot. You know, you remember the Giants game last year, Jalen Mills and Darby got beat on double moves all the time. It's really the one flaw of this Eagles secondary. And Rasul Douglas is a young guy too. That's something he's got to grow in. An aggressive styled corner like Douglas for his age, there's going to be some growing pains with that. And, you know, that'll come with age and with coaching. And Unlin has really got on him I like what Ben Stoliak tweeted yesterday. Douglas kept backpedaling, and normally he'd break on the ball, but Umlin kept screaming from the sidelines, you know, wait, wait, okay, now go, and Douglas would break on the football. And he's had a really strong summer so far, and he's being coached up, and I'm very excited about his future. And he might make Ronald Darby's time with the Eagles even shorter than expected. I wrote a piece on LockedOnEagles.com. If Howie Roseman starts dealing, who's out of the building? And it might be Ronald Darby. I know they get a compensatory pick next year if he ends up leaving the team and the Eagles don't get anything for him. Say they don't re-sign him next offseason. The Eagles do get a compensatory draft pick to use for losing Darby. But say they get around the same amount of value for him now, and Douglas and Jones just look that good that they want to get those two on the field together with Mills, and they're comfortable with that, they might move Ronald Darby now. What if a team wants to extend Darby? Maybe a Seattle, right, that needs some promising young secondary help for the long term after they lost Richard Sherman. Maybe the Seahawks come to them and offer them a third-round pick right now or a second-round pick. So not only do you get that draft pick now, but you also can boost up Rasul Douglas and give them that playing time that is greatly needed for young players to continue to grow. And you kind of you're basically delaying the process now. I know, I don't want to say that because Darby's obviously going to be a huge help to a Super Bowl team like the Eagles just to contend again. He's going to be a better option right now than Douglas, but you are delaying Douglas's development if he is sitting on the sideline, you know, with him and Sidney Jones. I think both of them playing, because that to me is going to be the core of this team. I don't think they're going to extend Darby. I think it's going to be Douglas, Jones, and Mills. And Avante Maddox, maybe Mills moves to safety eventually, or maybe Douglas does, or Maddox doesn't pan out, who knows, he's only a fourth-round pick. But that's going to be really the core three in the secondary at cornerback. So he might end up, if he continues to impress and he looks really good in the preseason, Howie Roseman likes to deal, and he might be looking to add maybe some more offensive line help, maybe another running back, another linebacker, instead of having this cornerback depth, and he might use Darby. I don't expect it, but Douglas could be the reason. If that were to happen, it would be a lot of the reason would be that they believe in Rasul Douglas, and they are very happy with his development so far. He actually even got reps today with the first team on the outside over Darby. They were mixing up some different formations, and in a three safety look where they had Trey Sullivan, Malcolm Jenkins, and Rodney McLeod on the field, they actually moved Douglas outside. So maybe if there's like a bigger lineup on offense, maybe a team is featuring two tight ends and a big wide receiver, the Eagles might do it based on matchups this year. You know, they might end up having Douglas get a lot of time on, say, a tight end's lined up in the slot. Say there's two big guys down low, and you have Malcolm Jenkins come down inside. But then maybe you bring in Rasul Douglas instead of Sidney Jones to go after one of those players. Or maybe on the outside, Darby's really struggling with a big receiver. You know, Rasul Douglas last year against, I point to the Kelvin Benjamin game, the Thursday night football game against the Carolina Panthers. Douglas played exceptionally well against bigger receivers like that. Where he struggled was against those quicker, faster receivers that are really good with route running as well. You know, Keenan Allen is one of the best route runners in the NFL. He really gave Rasul Douglas trouble in that Chargers game, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Rasul Douglas. He is definitely a part of this Eagles' future in the secondary. Another player that stood out, another young guy, rookie tight end, Dallas Goedert, had another good day, especially in the red zone, which is awesome because the Eagles were one of the best red zone offenses last year, especially in the passing game. And now you had another big athletic tight end like Dallas Goedert down there. This is going to be a dynamic offense that is going to be very hard for defenses to stop, especially when it gets down low. Nate Sudfeld and him connected on a couple touchdowns back-to-back in the red zone drills today, so Goddard has really caught the eye of the Eagles offense, and he is another player I'm super excited to see what he can do in the preseason, because he's really clicked with everyone. With Carson Wentz, he's made big plays with Foles and Sudfeld so far, so Goddard's going to be a weapon for this offense, and especially down low. You know, in the red zone, you got Jay Ajayi in the backfield, big boy Alshon Jeffrey on the outside, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Nelson Aguilar. This is going to be a tough offense to stop when it gets into the red zone, especially with the offensive line of the Eagles that's probably the best in the NFL right now. So Dallas Goedert is going to make this what was an elite red zone offense even better, and he continued that today in practice. And one more thing from training camp today, Nate Sudfeld continued to look impressive, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Sudfeld's making it look bad that the Eagles didn't take the Browns' offer or try to move Foles harder in the offseason. He has looked really good in the summer, and he's caught the eyes of not only, you know, the normal Philadelphia media, but some ESPN and some national guys as well have said, really, who is this Nate Sudfeld guy? He has really caught the eye of not only the Eagles, but the media as well. Before we get deeper, though, into Nate Sudfeld and the discussion of should the Eagles have traded Nick Foles, I want to talk to you about Nordic Track. Sometimes it's hard to find time for the gym. You got a couple jobs, you got a family, you got other things to do. It's not as easy to stay in shape and get to the gym. This is why you're going to want to check out Nordic Track. Nordic Track has a series of training equipment to give you amazing workouts in the convenience of staying right at home, so you don't have to drive to the gym. The equipment includes a treadmill, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and strength equipment. You can be a part of these high-energy workouts anytime you want without even stepping out your front door. A really cool part of this, too, are the streamed workouts around the world. Start off your day running around the streets of Paris and end it working out on the African safari, which is an awesome feature of Nordic Track. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to make sure you meet your goals. The news gets better. We have a special offer for Locked On Eagles listeners. You get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the offer code LOCKEDON with no spaces. Again, go to nordictrack.com/lockedon and use the code LOCKEDON during checkout to save $75 off your order. And we thank Nordic Track for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. So, in the second segment of today's show, we're going to talk about Nate Sudfeld and why he is making me believe the Eagles should have moved Nick Foles. I love Nick Foles. He is a legend in Philadelphia Eagles history for the rest of his life and for the rest of the franchise existence. You know, he won the Eagles their first ever Lombardi Trophy. But the reality is, this is a business, you know, and the Eagles front office has to do what's best for the Eagles long term, especially with how high their payroll is right now, continuing to collect draft picks to maintain cheap talent for, you know, because rookies don't make a lot of money. Those first 4 years, you're getting almost pretty much free talent on the football field. They don't make almost anything unless they're basically a top 10 pick. And even then, so, you know, Carson Wentz is making a couple million dollars, but it's nothing huge on the cap. And moving Nick Foles would have been huge. Having him on the team is fine, and I understand it. But he's only here for one more year, really, and then he can buy his way out of the team. They obviously have that option that the Eagles put on his contract. They gave him the big signing bonus, and they gave him an option of $20 million. If they want to pick that up, they can do that. But the other caveat of it as well is Foles, even if the Eagles were to do that, can buy his way into free agency by giving back that signing bonus of, I think it was $7 million. So if Foles gives that back, he can go into free agency regardless of what happens next year. So, you know, it's only 1 year, and having Nick Foles on the roster is huge for the Eagles for a year as an insurance policy. But I just, after seeing what Nate Sudfeld's done so far in the summer, I think he's going to be a high-quality backup. And Adam Kaplan of ESPN wrote this on Sunday. I copied down his tweet. Number three quarterback Nate Sudfeld, once again with a very impressive practice. It's not a secret how good he was in practice last season as well. Played well versus Dallas. Improvement this time around, very clear. He's scheduled to be a restricted free agent after this season. And, you know, he's just as big as Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. He's faster than Foles. You know, when I went back and watched that Dallas Week 17 game, when the pocket breaks down, Sudfeld has mobility. You saw that 22-yard scamper he had against Dallas in that game. He has mobility for his size, and that's something that you definitely want, especially for the Eagles offense that likes to be aggressive and likes their quarterbacks to extend plays. Sudfeld has that ability. So he's making me want Foles off this team. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but having Foles around it's awesome. And I'd rather have him on the field than Sudfeld if Wentz went down today. But with how far along he's progressed and Foles, again, becoming a free agent next year, it was very unlike Howie Roseman not to get compensation from him before the draft. You know, I get not wanting him to ship him out just to, you know, Cleveland or the wrong situation if Foles didn't want to go there, because obviously the last time he was in a tough situation with the Rams, it ended up making him almost retire. He made up his mind. You know, if you've read his book so far, I'm reading it right now. With the Rams, he was ready to hang it up. He was so miserable in that system that you've even seen him on national media talk about it now, is when he was on NFL Network, Fox Sports 1, talking about why he's okay with being a backup still with the Eagles. He talked about he wants to have the opportunity to lead a team again, but it's got to be the right team. It's got to be the right situation for him. He doesn't want to just get thrown into the fire with another garbage team, because Foles is a system quarterback. He's a rhythm quarterback. He's a guy that you got to have a certain you know, style to your offense for him to succeed. It can't just be any offense like a Carson Wentz would thrive in, you know. Foles is a rhythm quarterback that likes to move around, RPO, you know, quick, just instinctual type quarterback play. That's Nick Foles. And so I understand the Eagles being, you know, again, they have that emotional intelligence. They're not going to just ship off a guy who just won you the Super Bowl to Cleveland if they didn't want him to. But multiple teams were interested in Foles last year. It wasn't just the Cleveland Browns, who obviously made the trade offer that was leaked to Yahoo Sports, that they offered a high second-round pick that was basically a low first, essentially. You could have got a really good player with that pick if the Eagles ended up taking it. But it wasn't just them. I know the Arizona Cardinals were also interested in Nick Foles before they made the move signing Sam Bradford, which is still crazy that they gave him as much money as they did. And I'm sure Nick Foles would have approved of that. He would have went to a place that he played at. You know, he played college at Arizona. He actually met his wife there. You know, he has family there. He would go and play with Larry Fitzgerald, and David Johnson's one of the best running backs in football. A pretty good defense with Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones. That's a system. If the Cardinals came to the Eagles and offered them a second round pick, Foles would have approved of that trade, and I'm taking that right now, all day. And so I really hope that the Eagles weren't asking for just, you know, a ludicrous amount of compensation for Foles. And I mean, it sounds like they were, though, and the fact that they didn't take the offers that they got or made a move is a little bit disappointing. I mean, it's a great insurance policy to have in case Wentz goes down. But, you know, again, with Sudfeld's progression, with Foles' contract situation, not just that, but with how healthy Carson Wentz looks, so far it looks like Wentz is going to end up playing in week one. And, you know, he started all 16 games his rookie year. Last year, it was an injury that took him out for the rest of the year. It was something he probably could have prevented, but it was a torn ACL. I mean, that's not an injury that happens all the time, knock on wood, unless your name is Sam Bradford. So Wentz is looking healthy. Sudfeld looks good. Foles is a free agent, and it's just making me go back into the offseason and into the winter and be like, why didn't the Eagles move Nick Foles? If they didn't get the right offer, I understand it, but to me, a second-round pick is the right offer for a backup quarterback that played two historically good games, but before that, he struggled. Even in the Falcons game, in the playoff game, he was kind of like just a point guard, a game manager. You know, his completion percentage, I think, was over 70%, but he didn't throw any touchdowns, didn't throw any picks either. But that's the thing. Like, you can't expect, just because you got a first-round pick for Sam Bradford in that rare, unique situation, that suddenly now you're going to get the same thing for Nick Foles as well. A guy that, you know, regardless of why he did struggle, in the past, he's struggled multiple occasions. He's had historic, you know, times like the 2013 season and last year in the playoffs. But then there's also times like last year in the regular season and with the Rams where he struggled. And he's not worth a first-round pick. He still needs to convince other teams probably that he is a starting quarterback. So if you were offered a high second-round pick for Foles, that's something I would have jumped all over. And I know it was with the Browns and maybe Foles didn't want to go there. I don't know, man. Cleveland's got Jarvis Landry right now. They got Josh Gordon. They could sign Dez Bryant. They got a nice trio of running backs in Carlos Hyde, Nick Chubb, and Duke Johnson. A promising young defense. I know they didn't win any games last year, but that's not a horrible situation. So, I don't know. I think in Foles also, he doesn't want to be in the wrong situation. He was going to be a free agent next year anyway, and Cleveland still was willing to deal that high of a pick for him, which, again, is why at first I was skeptical of the report, but I would have did it. And it's not a popular opinion because of how much people now love Nick Foles in Philadelphia, and I do too. He's a legend. But I'm thinking as a GM here, I'm trying to go through the perspective of Howie Roseman and just the team building aspect of this. And it's interesting that they didn't move him, and it's especially now it's coming back to me because of Nate Sudfeld's progression so far at training camp. I'm super excited to watch him in the preseason. And I'm going down to training camp August 11th. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on him. You know, there's a lot of different battles going on with the Eagles roster right now, but I just want to watch how Nate Sudfeld does, because he just came out of nowhere. You know, he was a standout in Indiana, but he wasn't a high draft pick. Not a lot of people knew him when he played with the Redskins. They ended up waiving him. The Eagles brought him in last year. I think it was week 9. And now suddenly he's like this developmental project that the national media and the local media is super high on, and so is the Eagles, that they think this guy eventually could be a quality starter. It's awesome that the Eagles just continue to invest in the position and it's paid out amazingly. If eventually, I know they could still trade Nick Foles if someone were to get hurt, although I don't think it's likely. I even wrote in my piece a couple days ago that Sudfeld could be a potential trade piece. You know, you keep Nick Foles. I mean, say Nate Sudfeld impresses in the preseason, and I don't know, say a team like the Saints, or maybe not the Packers because they brought in DeShone Kizer, but who's another team with an older starting quarterback that doesn't have, you know, the Patriots maybe. Nate Sudfeld looks like the quintessential New England Patriot quarterback, right? The new heir to the throne. If when Tom Brady eventually, whenever that will be, maybe in 100 years, when he finally decides to retire, Nate Sudfeld could be a potential trade option to the New England Patriots. Say he impresses in the preseason and a team comes in and offers the Eagles, I don't know, maybe for a quarterback, you know, he hasn't played a lot, but maybe they offer him a third or a fourth round pick. The Eagles might consider doing that right now. Have Nick Foles as your backup this year, and then next year you go in and sign another veteran quarterback off the open market, and then maybe draft another guy and just continue to invest in that position and continue to invest and move them for draft picks. Zach Moore of Over the Cap, when he joined me, he talked about that, how he even suggested that strategy to the Eagles when Chip Kelly brought him in for a meeting to talk about the data he's collected over the past few years. He suggested that the quarterback position just continue to invest in at the three quarterback system. And the Eagles have kind of done that, just not with Foles and Sudfeld and Wentz. But before that, they brought in Chase Daniel. They paid Sam Bradford a lot of money. It's paid off for the Eagles so far, and they continue to do it. And it's a strategy that I think other teams should take notice of, because the Eagles might end up getting something for Nate Sudfeld. Or he just becomes your very high-end backup of the future. He's super young. He's only been in the league for, I think, what, this will be his second or third year now. So you got a high-end quality backup when Nick Foles goes away. That's pretty awesome for a guy that they claimed off waivers. And it also makes the Redskins just continue to look like an inept franchise, which they are. They are just not capable of doing competent things with their organization. And losing Nate Sudfeld is going to make them look bad, especially considering they lost Kirk Cousins. I know they have Alex Smith, but Alex Smith isn't the youngest quarterback in the world. They don't have a young guy behind him. I'm sure Jay Gruden and the Redskins would have liked to have a prospect like Sudfeld behind Alex Smith right now, but they didn't believe in him. They moved on. And it's a testament to the Eagles coaching staff that they brought him in and they've developed him into what now people think could be, look, this guy's going to be at least a backup. He could maybe be a starter for teams, and he might end up being so. And the Eagles have developed him into that high-quality backup, even maybe a starter down the road. And it's awesome to see, because the Eagles, like, again, not only, like I just said, they've invested in the quarterback position personnel-wise, but also that position, based on their coaching moves, their hiring of the coaching staff, also reflected them believing that the quarterback position is the main focus of a team when you're talking about team building, that they need to prioritize that position. Doug Peterson was a former quarterback, best play caller right now in the NFL. John DeFilippo, great quarterback guy, now is the offensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings. Frank Wright, former backup quarterback in the NFL, now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. You got Mike Groh there, and now is your offensive coordinator, a guy that he was a receiver coach, but he worked with the game plan. They continue to maximize the offense, and it's around the quarterback, not only just with personnel, but with the coaching staff. And it's so impressive, and I'm talking them up big time, because they just deserve it. And Nate Sudfeld is just another product of how the Eagles have become a powerhouse in every facet of the NFL, just on the field, upstairs in the front office, the coaching staff, all of it. Sudfeld is that example, another example of that. And I'm telling you, right now, I would have loved to have that second-round pick for Nick Foles, but obviously I'm okay with having – it's not the end of the world to have Foles on the team for one more year. It's pretty cool still, considering he won us the Super Bowl last year, but – and the Eagles do have a lot of draft picks next year. So, again, it's not crazy. But when we're just talking, when we're putting the move in a vacuum, it was a mistake not moving Foles because of all the factors that I talked about. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Thanks for joining me today. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE if you want more Eagles content. If you have any suggestions for the show, drop me a line right there, or you can email us at lockedoneaglespodcast@gmail.com. Please subscribe to the show, leave some reviews, really appreciate it. Find our show, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and of course, lockedoneagles.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, and let's go Birds.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.